Amen. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Amen. That's right. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, turn with me to John 3:16. John 3:16. For those who've been around the church for some time know that I've often turned to this scripture. Back in 2003, March, God told me to stand up and tell people how much God loved them. And I kicked off with this word, John 3:16, and I saw one of the most powerful presence of God in amongst a gathering of people that I've ever seen, probably, whilst I've been a Christian. For many of us, we think of God and, yeah, he's created salvation for us. But for many of us, we don't realize the real extent of how much he loves us. Now, I've said this a few times, but stick with me, I've got some new stuff, okay? I got some new stuff for me. In fact, I was in the shower this morning, and God gave me a brand new revelation in the Word. Never knew it, never seen it before. Pardon? I did get the revelation in the shower, yeah? So stick with me. But John 3:16 is a scripture, in my opinion, that is probably the most well-known, possibly, arguably, the most well-known scripture in the Bible. But I personally believe one of the least understood. Let's just read it, shall we? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that Sunday morning out in France, I said to the people, I said, how much love does it take? And I've said it to you guys before. How much love does it take to give up your only child for somebody else? I mean, we nearly lost one of our children a year last August, with, what was it, 27,000 volts going through his body. We nearly lost one. We didn't actually voluntarily give him up and say, let's let him go. Let's, you know, let him suffer and what have you. No, we couldn't do it. We wouldn't be able to do it, no matter what. But God did it for you and for me. He actually allowed his son to be put on that cross. And as I said last time I spoke, he actually died on a cross. And the Romans weren't the first people to actually use a form of crucifixion, but they were the ones who actually perfected it, if you like, in the way in which they protracted pain to death. So when they went on that cross, they actually made it so then they would suffer extreme pain protracted over a long period of time and what have you, so that they could actually police the towns and the villages and that with small amounts of soldiers, because everybody would be fearful of being put on that cross. And for many of us, we know that I've just said in our heads as regards the fact that he loved us so much that he let us do it. Sorry, he let it happen. that he would give his son over for you and me. We know it in our heads. But in our hearts, we don't really know it. We don't really believe it. We don't really, it doesn't give us that, I'm at rest in this. And the revelation that the Lord gave me this morning was, when John was at the Last Supper, he put his head on his chest. He'd showed me that before, and I've told you that before. He put his head on his chest. He got the revelation of his love. He got his revelation of Jesus' love for him, okay, that carried him through his life and all his trials, okay? But this is what he showed me this morning. That all the other disciples scarpered for fear. But the one who knew and writes in the Gospel of John, the disciple that Jesus loved, did not run. He was stood at the cross. And he went on to show me this morning that not only did he not run, Jesus knew that the best custodian of his mother's future was in the hands of a person who had learnt to love and understood the love of the Father. That man had got so much security in his life that even though those Roman soldiers could have spotted him and he could have thought in his mind, I'm going to get the same treatment as him because I hung out with him, fear had gone. In 1 John 4, perfected love casts out all fear. You cannot have love and fear in the same environment. If you're occupied by fear, there will be an absence of love. It does not operate in the same environment. You cannot say that I am confident that God is going to do this or that, or I'm going to get from him whatever, whilst you're still in fear. There will be one or the other. Perfected love, it's a process. The more we understand how much he loves us, and to quantify how much revelation we've got of how much we're loved is how much we've actually pushed out the fear. And we have confidence and security in that love. We love him because he first loved us. We have confidence to be able to do all the things that he wants us to do. The motivation to do it, the driving force to do it, by this understanding that he loves us. He loves us with a love that will last forever. He loves us with a love that's never ending. He loves us with a love that never fails. And people say, well, I've heard that before. Yeah, but it hasn't got down into the heart where it's settled issues. We're at rest with it. It motivates decisions that we make. And for many people, we actually are not grasping the love revelation as well because of disappointments in life. Well, you know, I was hoping God would do this and I was hoping God would do that and it's never really happened. You know, after 30 years, I still ain't got it. I still, you know, Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. And a sick heart has no revelation of the fact that it's loved. When they talk about every human being that was ever born on this planet was born with a God-shaped hole in its heart, it's actually a love-shaped hole. You and I were made with the need to be loved. We need it. And we need to be able to, from that, create the right environment for children to grow up in, like Eli. It's a love environment. A love environment. And the parents only can create that love environment when they're secure in the knowledge of the fact that they are loved. He loved us with an everlasting love. The other thing is, you know, many of us are disappointed because of unfulfilled aspirations, as I said, you know, hopes that we had in God. And And the Lord showed me that the reason for that is that we've actually, let me just tell you about, because of hurts within our hearts from childhood and things like that for many of us, and the disappointments there. The conditions and the environment that we grew up in affected the way we think now. If that love environment was absent, we're actually operating out of it now, which creates often very high levels of disappointment again. People let us down, people fail us. We watched on Thursday night the, what was the film called? The Shack. Now, I think that's a wonderful example there where a lady comes, actually supposedly speaking on behalf of God. Okay? Now, the reason why God spoke to him through a lady is because of the fact that he was abused by his father. Now you talk to him about father. Your heavenly father, he loves you. Within his childhood, he was conditioned by how his father treated him. Now when he comes and wants to learn about heavenly father, father, the word father, triggers something. And that is maybe austere. It's maybe forceful. And in that case, it was abusive. So therefore, to get to the man's heart, God had to speak to him through the mother heart of God, because he would have just rejected any thought of compassion coming from the father. Are you with me? So God reaches him through the mother heart of God. And when Adam was created, when he was first created, the mother in God's image, the mother side of God was inside Adam. That's why the best way to bring your children up is with a man and with a woman. Because the image of God is only reflected when the man and the woman, the matriarchal and the patriarchal, is represented and seen. Amen? And so, for many of us, we have not got this real understanding in our hearts how big, how enormous this love is. This love that John got this revelation of, to be the only one that actually says when he's writing his gospel, he says, the one that Jesus loved, the one that Jesus loved. He repeats it time and again. The one that Jesus loved. He knew. Deep down, right down in the core of his being, that affected decisions that he made. Whether to run when he went to Calvary. Whether to run to the cross or to run away like the others. Love and the revelation of it, the understanding of it, will bring you that confidence. And we are sat here today as a product of the decisions that we've made. The decision, for example, that you came to know Christ. The decisions as regards what made you make your choice as regards your career in life. Was it fearful of the fact that you wouldn't succeed in another area? You didn't have the confidence to go for something maybe that God wanted you to do. And we all carry these insecurities. Until we get this revelation, just like John did. Do you know something? There was all the rest of the disciples still walking at the same amount of time as John did with him, and still at the end of it, you get one of us, show us the Father. I believe that John had the revelation of the Father when he got hold of this love that was for him. Got hold of this love that had captivated his heart, that motivated his decisions. And so therefore, you and I, we need something to get us from that place of a head knowledge, and I can stand up here month after month, year after year, tell you about the love of God. And sometimes it is repetition that actually just one day just gets to your heart and says, I know that he loves me. This most powerful being in the universe that can speak a word and planets can come into existence and everything that's required on them can come into existence, that loves us with this incredible love. And that's what it's about, folks. It's about creating that environment in your home where love flows. That's the secure environment for children to grow up in, for you and I to flourish. And it's the right environment as well for church. Jesus teaching his disciples how to wash feet. Well, they probably all knew how to wash feet, but they learned something incredible that day when he washed their feet, because they looked to him as, their leader, and he comes and washes their feet. Most people on this planet that you walk with, most of them, that you come up against, work in life, you bump into things like that, nowadays, they want the higher place, and they're not bothered sometimes whether they tread on you to get it. But here is a person that actually comes, and he's not interested in the higher place. He abandoned that to come down to touch us and have an impact on our lives. He ain't bothered about that higher place. What he's bothered about is every area of your life, right down to the detail of your feet. Every area of your life. And when he went to the cross, he covered everything that you needed, body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. He covered it from the day that you gave your life to the Lord right through to eternity. Whatever you'd need. He covered it. He bought and paid for it. He bought and paid for it. Nobody has that right to take it from you because he's bought and paid for it. It's the same with sickness, whatever it is. He's bought and paid your freedom from it. Bought and paid it. Your salvation for eternity. He's bought and paid for it. It's yours. It's your inheritance. It's your right. All because he loved you. That was his driving force. That was the motivation behind what he did. No matter what it cost him, he was going to have you for himself. But you have the choice, and you make that decision whether you say, yes, I accept it, and I'm going to walk with it. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to have that love. I'm going to accept it. That's what we're about, folks, aren't we? That's the message we tell in the world. You hear people, I mean, out on the streets and what have you, and they'll tell a little bit of a fire and brimstone message. And people walk away generally. They don't want to hear them. But you reach out like Jesus did and touch somebody at the point of need. You've communicated a heart of love. You've communicated a heart of compassion. Time and again it talks about Jesus looked upon them with a heart of compassion. He didn't look upon them with a heart of condemnation. He looked upon them a heart that cared for everything about them. Isn't that right? He loves you. He loves you. And if you were the only person on this planet that needed him to go to that cross, he would have bought and paid for it. That's why it makes it even stupid as well that we fall out with one another in our homes, arguing about this and arguing about that. Then Jesus steps in and he says, tell you what, I'll take it. I'll pay for it. Put it on my account. Put it on my account. I'll take the flak for it. Because I'll tell you something, when we accuse one another anyway, he takes it as unto himself anyway. It's as though you're shouting at him. It's as though you're cursing him. When you do it to one of his. Moms and dads, you know that to be true with your own children. They go to school and somebody beats them or curses them or whatever. They might as well have done it to you. Isn't that right? Might as well have done it to you. That's why God does the same with us when we fall out amongst each other. The division between us. Don't like him because he does this. Don't like her because she does that. You shouldn't do this. Do you know, The way that we've gone about it in our relationship is I've actually feel that I ain't got the right to confront my wife unless God actually shows me. I've got a responsibility that's far bigger than that issue, and that's to make sure she knows she's loved. That's far bigger than this issue that's just come up. Usually it's over something that's splashed on the floor, or it's this, or it's something that you wouldn't even remember a week later. Isn't that right? Why not confront them over the fact that you failed to love them and communicate that love with them? We have a responsibility to let this love flow through us. But first of all, we have to captivate this understanding that we're loved. These fire and brimstone preachers, I tell you, they won't be as successful as Heidi Baker. Go down on the tip. Never. I don't care who they are. They will never, ever be as successful as somebody like her that reaches out in compassion, no matter what it costs her. Because that's the very heart and the very essence of God. And I'll tell you what, it's what those people are looking for. It's what they need. They don't need somebody to condemn them right now, right there and then. They need somebody to reach out to them. And actually, for the first time in their life, the whole lot of them find that there's somebody loves them and cares for them. Do you know, we've embarked on this, of Karen and I, as regards pastoring this church. And we were sat in Costa a week ago yesterday, and all of a sudden God gave me this picture, and it was interesting with what Jocelyn spoke last week. He just married up with that. He just showed me that there's only one way to lead. And that's like God pouring into a cup and it's spilling over. There's no other way to lead. That he fills us up and it spills over. And he can do the same with you. That he fills you up and it just spills over and touches other people. There's no other way to lead. Never have a person leading you, whether it's, you know, discipling you or whatever, that is not eager for you to go past them. Because you'll find that they'll be too insecure to let you fly and to let you be all that you were intended to be. If they aren't desperate for you to be better than what they are, we're blessed actually with some, you know, with people within this church, with the talents, the abilities and things like that. And it should be all about how we create the environment where they can fly. Isn't that right? Where they can fly and be all that God created them to be. But what will be the driving force and propelling them into it is the love of God. That revelation and that understanding that he wants you free because he loves you. Because he cares for you. Because he cares for every part of your life. Amen? One other thing that he showed me the other week was, and we haven't time to go into it now, and that is Luke 13, 10 to 17. You can read it there. Where he's in the synagogue there, and this woman is bent double. And he prays for her. She gets free. And it was on the Sabbath. You know, religion can get in the way of people getting free. And he showed me that sometimes we can get in the way of actually facilitating people's healing because of our tradition, because of our religious thinking. Just comes right back to folks that he wants you free because he loves you. He wants you whole because he loves you. It weren't your idea to start with when you loved your children. It weren't your idea. It didn't come from you. It was actually birthed in you as a reflection or something of a small image, a tiny aspect, a tiny glimmer of God's love. The mother side of God, you know, that caring side, you know, by just putting a man up here sometime or a pastor in a church, he can care, but there's another aspect of it as well that sometimes only a mother can actually show. Because that's the mother side of God. Like the chicken with the hen with the chickens under its wings. That caring side. Because that's still God. It's still how he is. It's still how he thinks. How he cares for you. He's got so much love. When he turned to those people and he had compassion over them. Do you know there's many of you in this room now and he's having compassion on you. He's looking at you with eyes of compassion. You might not sometimes look at other people with eyes of compassion. But he's looking at you with eyes of compassion. Right deep into your heart right now. Some of you are being moved by this. That you're starting to realize for the very first time maybe that there is a God that is actually so, so loving. So, so loving. Amen? Let's just pray, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.